This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
And so the message this morning is called Change of Pace. Someone say change of pace. And this will make sense to you as we go along. So let's pray, then we'll get right into the service. Father, we are just so grateful for your presence, God. We're thankful for who you are. God, and we ask for your anointing that destroys every yoke and removes every burden. Holy Spirit, we ask you to minister to each and every person that's here. Father, we thank you for your word, for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation to be in operation this morning. God, that we position ourselves to be doers of your word and not hearers only. God, we thank you for revelation of truth that makes free this morning, that you transform us by your spirit and by your power. And God, we thank you for impartation in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 So remember, if you want the word of God to work for you, you've got to be excited about the word of God. Amen. So, man, get excited because God always says it before he does it. And so just that attitude of expectation, that attitude of excitement goes a long way in you choosing to believe what God is saying. So let's get right into it. Every Christian has the privilege of seeking God on a daily basis, that seeking God should be a part of our lives, not just a part of our weekend, but seeking God should be a part of our lives. Spending time with, what do you mean seeking God? Well, spending time with God in prayer or worship and the word of God. Having a daily devotional time with God where you just get alone with God and you pray, you worship, and you hear from God, whatever God will be telling you about your day, about that week, about situations that you may be facing. How many of you know God is a God who still speaks today? Amen? And so you want to be seeking God. And Jeremiah, let me just say this. Sometimes life, even though we know that we're supposed to be seeking God, sometimes life and difficulty and hardship, they have a way of slowing down our pursuit of Jesus, our pursuit of God and his plan and purpose for our lives. And in doing so, it can kind of hinder the consistency of our daily pursuit of God. And some of you may be sitting here and go, I haven't been seeking God for the last several years. Well, it doesn't matter how long you have or have not been seeking God. Today's a new day. Amen. And so it's good for all of us. So no matter where you are in your walk with God, this message is for you, and it's going to bless. And I believe it can transform your life. The good news is that we can always get right back where we need to be with God and where God wants us and go beyond. Someone say go beyond. Go beyond where we've been in our walk with God. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 and 13, I love this. It says, then you will call, this is God speaking, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Notice that. Verse 13. And you will seek me. Someone say seek. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I love this in the Message translation. It says, when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Come on, somebody. I love this. God says, God makes sure that the seekers will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. That means if you choose to seek God, you're not going to be disappointed. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed baking bread. Those that seek him shall not be disappointed. Hallelujah. It reminds me of that song that he's never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. I know that maybe I've let him down. I know that maybe I've made mistakes and maybe I failed and I have paid the consequences and we have paid the consequences of our own failure. But one thing I know, Wendy, is that my God will never let me down. One thing I have found out, church, is that he is faithful even when I have been unfaithful. That he shows up in the midnight hour and he sets me free from the chains that have been binding me. I have found out that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a very present help in time of trouble. I have found out that he will not fail me. Hallelujah. My God says, I'll make sure that you are not disappointed. I know the devil's been lying to you and say you've been disappointed for month after month and year after year. But I came to preach to you a message this morning that says if you can change your gear and start seeking your God, you will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Time to turn that frown upside down and go after Jesus like a madman. Hallelujah. For we will not be disappointed. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God first and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You've heard me say this before, but when I seek God, the stuff is programmed to follow me. So instead of seeking the stuff, I just need to continue to seek God, and God programs the stuff to follow me. I don't have to seek the house. I can seek God, and the house will follow me. I don't have to seek a new job. I can seek God, and the job will follow me. God will open the doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. Somebody say amen. This is a Bible truth that when you seek God, things in your life begin to come into alignment. So if that's true, then this must also be true, that if I'm seeking God, things come into alignment, then maybe not seeking God caused things to be in chaos. Hallelujah. Notice that seeking God allows God to add things to your life. God wants to add good things to your life. And what is God going to add to your life? Well, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So God is good and he doeth good. So when God adds to your life, he doesn't add sorrow to you. He adds blessing and favor and glory. And come on, somebody, this is what God does. And he's looking for people to seek his face. If you believe, it's amen. Amen. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 6. It says this, but when you pray, notice it didn't say if you pray, it says when you pray. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So notice this, anywhere you close out the world and focus on Jesus in praise, prayer, and devotion to him, that becomes your secret place. It can be your bedroom, it can be your living room, it can be your car. Come on, somebody. It can be walking outside, it can be getting ready in the morning, ladies. Come on, you know that 2 hours need to be spent doing something. Hallelujah. I mean, you come on, but whatever it is, fellas, if it's on your lunch break, you go to your car, press play, hallelujah, and begin to worship your God. Wherever you get alone with Jesus and purpose to spend time with him, that is now a secret place. And God says, when you seek me in private, I'm going to reward you openly. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says he who comes to God must believe that he is. How many of you believe that God is? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. So notice this, according to this verse, that the rewards are waiting on those who seek him. You could say it like this. There are some rewards from God that are only available to those who choose to seek him. Wow. In other words, some rewards are reserved for those who seek him diligently. There are some blessings that come to your life just because God is so good, but then there are some blessings that will not come unless we choose to seek him consistently. Somebody say amen. The more you seek God, the greater the reward is in your life. The reward of his presence, the reward of his embrace, the reward of his revelation, the reward of his favor, the reward of his resources coming into your life, financial breakthrough, relationships, promotion. God brings all these rewards as a result of us choosing to seek his face. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek. Somebody say seek. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Verse 8. For everyone, I love it, everyone. Somebody say everyone. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So this is a spiritual truth, church, that what you seek, you eventually find. So if I want more of God in my life, I just have to make a decision to seek him. And if I seek him, eventually I'm going to find his goodness. I'm going to find his favor. I'm going to find his breakthrough. I'm going to find his blessing in my life. But I've got to make a decision to seek him, because everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, the door is open. And everyone that asks receives. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. David was a seeker of God's presence, and it positioned him to kill the giant, or kill Goliath. And so David was a seeker of God's presence, and David killed what was taunting everybody else. Goliath was taunting the armies of God and saying, I'll take you out. And when I take you out, then your army has to serve our army. And David shows up after having been a seeker of God on the backside of the desert when he's watching his daddy's sheep. He's spending time with God. He's playing his harp. He's worshiping God. And when he shows up in the midst of the battle, he doesn't see how big Goliath is. He sees how big his God is. Because when you seek God consistently, it'll position you to kill giants. Hallelujah. Notice this, that David was a seeker of God, and because he made the decision to seek God consistently, that now the presence of God came to David's life. And because the presence of God was upon David, King Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit, and some of his men said, hey, there's a man named David who plays skillfully on the harp. And he says, okay, well, why don't you bring him in? And the Bible says that when he played in front of King Saul, that the evil spirit that was tormenting Saul had to flee from Saul because of the anointing on David. When you seek God, when you seek God, what comes on you from God's presence will begin to affect those around you as well. And notice this, that it positioned David for promotion simply because he chose to seek God with his life. When he sought God with his life, it brought favor, it brought God's presence. And when he got in front of Saul, the king of the greatest nation in the world, it positioned David for promotion. Here's what God is saying to you. If you will seek me, because not because I'm going to promote you, not because I'm going to reward you, but if you'll seek me because I am who I am. I am God. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning. I am the ending. I am the best thing that's ever happened to you. If you will begin to seek me because you want me, the reward and the promotion follow those who have a heart to seek after God. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Here's where the title, The Change of Pace, comes in. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead. Notice that. He ran, and notice he sought. He was a seeker. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. So he ran ahead and climbed up. Someone say ran ahead and climbed up. Yeah. To see who Jesus was, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when all the sinners saw it, they began to complain because Jesus went to a sinner's house. Religious people are dumb, you know what I mean? I'll just let that bless you on the way home. Just think about, what did he mean? By religious people are dumb. But I mean, Jesus is going to a guy's house to change your life forever, and he's mad because he's going to. But Jesus came and said, listen, the well don't need a physician. It's the sick that need a physician. Hallelujah. A bunch of your friends that are unsaved need you to invite them over for a barbecue and the presence of God to be so strong in your house that it runs hell out of them. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody say, make it plain. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when they saw it, they complained. Religious people always complain. It's their favorite thing to do. You've heard me say this before, but the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. Right? The people with the biggest mouth do the least. Because when you're busy doing something, you ain't got time to complain. Oh, y'all ain't saying much anymore. You used to like me, huh? Oh, they like me when I'm their cheerleader. Yes, yes, you can do it. Yes, yes. But when I bring some truth, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know. You're stepping on my toes. My toes are bloody. Please stop right now. Listen, man, this isn't a complaining church. This is a church where we are after the heart of God. Come on, somebody. We're after the heart of God, and we're after seeing Selena saved. Selena's transformed by the glory of God. Come on, does anybody believe that God can still transform this city for the glory of Almighty God? Somebody say amen. Amen. So they began to complain, and then verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, Lord, I'll give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold. Look up at me. I can tell if you've had a true salvation experience if you're willing to become a giver or not. Because Jesus, after that, said salvation has come to this house. So if God has changed our heart, we should want to give back to him. All right? So there is a place and there is a time when God begins to ask you, now, I've done this in your life. I have changed your life. Now it's time for you to begin to give back into what I care about. And what I care about is my church being expanded, my kingdom being expanded, those that are going to hell no longer going to hell, coming in, being saved, being healed, being delivered, being planted, and then going out and being an influence in this city. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. All right. So here we go. He said, today salvation is, verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. And then he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Holy Spirit, help me draw these things out that you've given me. Communicate them to your people in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Zacchaeus made a decision to pursue Jesus for himself. He was no longer happy. He was no longer fulfilled by hearing about Jesus. Zacchaeus said, I've got to go encounter Jesus for myself. There is a difference between secondhand smoke. If we're not careful, as Christians, we live on a secondhand high. Oh, Lord Jesus. Christians come to church. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So that means, Jerome, that he is something that can be tasted, that can be perceived, and when he comes into me, Grandma, he begins to affect the way that I see life. He begins to change my perspective. So the Bible says, taste and see. Notice, my dad said this to me on the last night on the phone, and it struck me. He said, son, first you've got to taste him, then you start seeing things. Because when I taste of his mercy, Hector, I begin to see my life not as someone that is going to be judged for what I have done. I begin to see Jesus as the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, whereby he became sin so I could be made the righteousness of God. When I taste of his goodness, I don't begin to see my life as the devil raining badness on my life. I begin to see my life as an opportunity for God to show his goodness off through my life. Do you know God wants to make you a billboard whereby he shows his goodness off? When you taste of who he is, you begin to see things differently. So the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so some Christians come to church and they live off of secondhand high. Let my preacher go in his prayer closet and get high on Jesus. And then when he comes up in church, we're going to hotbox together. And God says, you can come into church and hotbox if you want to, but that ain't going to last on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. I came here to say, I have tasted something that has changed my life, and I want to tell you, you can go home and get some for yourself. Hallelujah.
I don't know if I agree with all this, you know, this analogy of, you know, smoking weed and Jesus. Well, listen, if Jesus isn't changing your perspective, you ain't doing it right. Listen, man, the Bible says, I'll take it a step further. The Bible says, now faith is the substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you get arrested, Jerome, if you just got enough marijuana on you for yourself, it's called that you got caught with possession. But if you got enough for you as somebody else, it's called possession with the intent to distribute. I'm going to wait for about 10 seconds and see if you catch that. Because God doesn't want you to come here just to get enough presents for yourself. He doesn't want you to come here and just get enough Jesus for yourself. He wants you to come here and say, okay, Jesus, I got your presence, but now I'm about to go home and I'm about to get enough for everybody so I can begin to distribute. These signs shall follow them that believe. Do I have any believers in here this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God is good and he doeth good. Hallelujah. And he's looking for his people to seek his face and spend time with him. So Zacchaeus makes the decision to run ahead and climb up. Someone say, run ahead and climb up. He was not happy with hearing about Jesus from somebody else. He now wanted to encounter him. When's the last time you had an encounter at your house? When's the last time you had an encounter with Jesus in your car and you couldn't help the tears from coming down? Because we got to get to a place where we're tired of living off of yesterday's manna. Yeah, sure, God did that 3 years ago, but what's God doing today? Remember in the Old Testament, they couldn't gather enough manna for tomorrow, Debbie. They had to gather it every day. They had to go out and gather manna every day. And if they gathered manna and tried to save it and tried to hold it over for the next day so they could be lazy on the next day, the Bible says it got ate up with worms. So what God was telling us, Jesus, I am the bread that comes down from heaven, and you can't get enough of me today for tomorrow. You got to get me every day. You got to come spend time with me every day. Come on. Seek him while he may be found, and you will find him when you seek him with all of your heart. Come on, somebody say amen. So Zacchaeus made up his mind that he was going to change his pace. Now notice, Zacchaeus heard about Jesus. Now this is cool. This is cool right here. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing by. And the Bible said that he, right then, he was a seeker. He sought to see who Jesus was. He had heard about him, but he wanted to encounter him for himself. This is where life changes. Will you decide to just simply hear about him, or will you decide to go encounter him? Because when you experience Jesus, there's not a drug that compares to him. Hallelujah. There's nothing that compares to experiencing the King of Kings. Not a thing. And so he said, okay, that's it. I am changing my faith. Here's what God is saying to us as celebration. Celebration, some of you haven't been seeking God, didn't know it was that big of a deal. Some of you have kind of been seeking God. Others of you have been going after it. But here's what God's saying. Celebration, it's time to accelerate your pace of your pursuit of Jesus. Hallelujah. He changed. He accelerated his pace. Now, this is peculiar because as I was reading this account, Jesus said to me, he said, now, Jason, read the account right before this one. And the Bible said that when he was coming towards Jericho, there was a man named Bartimaeus laying outside the city of Jericho. And the Bible said that when Bartimaeus heard about Jesus, Bartimaeus said, everything else in my life right now can stop. Because if I can experience this Jesus, then my malady, my dysfunction, my blindness will have to run out of my body, because this is the one who can change it. And the Bible says that when he began to cry out, Son of David. Oh, come on, somebody. Son of David. Have mercy on me. And then everybody said, Bartimaeus, shut up. Be quiet. Don't bother the teacher. That's not necessary. Don't you dare let church people tell you what's necessary when you come into his presence. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in celebration who's ever had to shout your way to victory, who's ever had to praise your way out of any situation. But if I'm talking to anybody who's ever had to get a little radical in your praise for God, and you saw the mighty hand of God reach down and set your feet upon a rock and pull you up out of a pit, can we take about 10 seconds and give him a shout of praise this morning? Hallelujah! Come on, right now, stuff is changing. Right now, things can shift. Right now, Bartimaeus is about to receive his sight. Are there any seekers in the house? Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Come on, that's what they said. They said, shut up, Bartimaeus. Shut up, Bartimaeus. Shut up, Bartimaeus. Shut up, Bartimaeus. But he cried out all the more. The devil will tell you, why are you excited? Your babies are going crazy. Why are you excited? You're more broke now than you were last month. Why are you praising God? You're depressed. Shut up. I must praise the name of the one who can meet my needs. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hey, I feel something moving on the inside right now.
All right, you can be seated. You can be seated. Because the non-radicals are being offended. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, kinda. You know, I just feel like I got a prodder, and I'm just like prodding people. Like, oh, that's uncomfortable. Prod. Hallelujah. Bartimaeus was sitting outside the gate. And yet, when he heard about Jesus, Johnny, he didn't just shut up. He didn't just stay still. He changed his posture. Now, sometimes you change your pace with your voice. Jesus, that's revelation right there. Because you can be sitting still spiritually, looking like you're going to church and serving. But if you're not saying anything with your mouth, you're still sitting still. Because the Bible says the power of life and death lie in the tongue. And Jesus said, you will have whatsoever things you say. So Bartimaeus said, I may not be able to get up right now, but I can lift my voice. I may not have the greatest education. I may not have all the money in the world. But what I found out, Jerome, is that when I lift my voice, there's still a God in heaven who hears me and reaches down his mighty right hand and picks my feet up and sets my feet upon a rock. Has anybody besides me found out he's still? Hallelujah. And so Bartimaeus was there, and this is what he said, Pastor. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, now notice, everyone that was telling him to shut up, all of a sudden they said, please rise, the master is now calling you. What happened? You were just telling me to shut up. You were just telling me, you were just hating on me. You were hating on my praise, and now you're trying to be my usher? Huh? Religious people are crazy, man. They're crazy. Don't listen to religious people. Just go after Jesus with all your heart. Come on, I don't come to church because I got offended. Yeah, you're going to get offended because they're dumb. Sheep are dumb. That's why I got a shepherd and he's not dumb. Don't be offended by some sheep. Come on, I will come to church. Pastor, I will come to church, but I just got offended. You know, this really hurt me. Come on, man. I know you're a sheep, but don't be that dumb. I'm cast. I'm hurt. You know, I'm hurt. I'm just wounded. I'm hurt. Okay. But there's still a shepherd that can help you get back up on your feet. And don't be offended by dumb sheep anymore. Jesus can help them too. Hallelujah. I'm talking about. I'm helping somebody. Like, my God, I wanted to tell them they were dumb, but I prayed for them. Hallelujah. Now listen, man, don't listen to people. Don't listen to Christians if they're negative and they're trying to tell you how to do it and what to do. Listen, man, lovingly, thank you in the name of Jesus. Right? So many times I just have to nod. Doesn't mean I'm agreeing. I'm just being polite. Give them the polite nod. Have a great day in the name of Jesus. I cast that down right now in Jesus' name. Like, just don't let people bother you. Don't let them affect your pursuit of Jesus. I didn't get into this because people were good. I got into this because Jesus is good. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he said, bring him. And he said, Bartimaeus, receive your sight. And the man who had never seen saw the most beautiful thing that anyone had ever seen. That'll catch you when you go home. The man who had never seen saw the thing that was the most beautiful thing that anyone had ever seen. And it was the Son of God.
It was the lily of the valley. It was the rose of Sharon. It was the bride and morning star. It was eyes that let liquid love flow out of him and into you. It was the healer of the nations. It was the desire of the nation. He was the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the root out of the house of Jesse, the rock of Jacob. Hallelujah. Manna that came down from heaven, the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. Jesus stood in front of him. What if you may have been blind? You may have been messed up, but what if through an encounter with Jesus, all of a sudden you may have been seeing awful things, but what if Jesus touches you and now the best thing that you've ever seen is the thing standing right in front of you? This is another truth that proves, Luke, that my best is yet to come. Y'all, Jesus saves the best wine for last. We're going to be blessed simply because we were born later than other people. God set it up that way, but he saves the best for last. In your life and in my life, we have to choose. Am I going to believe my current situation, or am I going to believe that my best is still yet to come? Is the Bible, and does it say, Johnny, that most people serve the best wine first and when the guests have well drunk? In other words, they get tipsy. Come on, somebody. So the white people are like, what's tipsy? What's that? They got inebriated. I don't know. They were intoxicated, and once they get intoxicated, then they set out the inferior wine. Jesus shows up to the wedding. They're out of wine, and the mom says, "Hey, we don't want the party to end." There's revelation flowing in here, whether you realize it or not. We don't want the party to end. They're saying that the party has to end. But when Jesus is there, he can keep the celebration going. And so Jesus turns the water into wine, does the miracle. You ever found out that Jesus can do? Because, I mean, how long is wine take, you know, to ferment? Right, you got to squeeze it. You got to stomp on it. Right, do the Italy thing, you got to stomp on it, then you got to bottle it, then you got to ferment it, and then it takes time. Some say it takes time. But with Jesus, miracles speed up the process. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, remember that with Jesus, miracles speed up the process. Hallelujah. All right? And so he did. He did. He received his sight. He's a walking miracle. And Zacchaeus is a short little dude, right? He was singing that song, "Wish I was a little bit taller. Wish I was a baller. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat and a 64 ball." Come on, somebody. Y'all act like you just got, come on, you didn't just get saved. You know what I'm talking about right now. Right? Oh, Jesus. Right? And so he was singing that song. He was short. The Bible said he was so short he couldn't see. I mean, he was rich. But he was short. Anyway, so he climbed up a sycamore tree, climbed up, and he saw it. And, you know, the Bible didn't say that this happened, but it's hard for me to believe that it didn't happen. It didn't say that it didn't happen either. So you can't prove it. You can't disprove it, and I can't prove it. So let's just walk down this road for a little bit, amen? You guys get anything out of this? Yeah. Then act like it. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah, I'm just kidding. So he climbs up. And the Bible says, Deb, that he looked and he saw Jesus. But the paragraph right before that said that he came near Jericho and Bartimaeus was right there. And then he healed Bartimaeus. And the Bible says that Bartimaeus and the whole crowd start praising him. So when Zacchaeus got up on the tree, Bartimaeus is right outside his city. Oh, Jesus. Every day, Bartimaeus is jacked up. There's jacked up Bartimaeus. Throw him a few mites. You know what I mean? I don't know. But this was life for him. He saw Bartimaeus every time he came in and out of his city. Are you following me? Bartimaeus, right there. Bartimaeus' dad was a nobleman, was rich, and his son was blind, sitting outside the city. Every day he comes in and he comes out. He sees Bartimaeus. He looks up. He said, "People are going crazy.
People are going crazy. Just like some of you come to church. Like, people are going crazy in church. Hector, they don't know why we go crazy. They don't know why we shout, why we praise, why we jump, why we, they don't know why we go crazy. And Zacchaeus didn't know why they were going crazy. See, y'all preach me into a place where I got hairspray in my eyes right now. Hallelujah. Not hairspray, but hair product. You know what I mean? Whatever. And so he said, they're going crazy. Oh, wait, there's Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus' eyes are open. Bartimaeus is walking without a walking stick. Zacchaeus saw Bartimaeus and he said, this has to be Jesus. Because Bartimaeus, who once was blind, now he sees. And when I read that, Jesus said, Celebration has a bunch of Bartimaeuses too. Because there's a bunch of people in here that used to be addicted that are not addicted anymore. Used to be sick, they're not sick anymore. Used to be depressed, but they're not depressed anymore. There's a bunch of Bartimaeuses in here. And when people see what God has done in you, they're going to go, truly, Jesus is the Son of God. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. All right. I don't have much time. In fact, I have no time. All right. Wow. Man, I got through the whole thing in the first service. I got through half this service, so I don't. Okay, let's see if I can kind of curtail this. Let me just say this. How many of you have ever really got serious about working out? Any of you? A few of you? Liars. No, I'm just kidding. Jose is my number one laugher, man. He laughs whether it's funny or not. You know what I mean? Keep him on the front row. No, I'm just kidding. When you start a workout program, you know, it's not like you just wake up one day and you're like, oh, my God. You look in the mirror like, oh, my God, I got six-pack abs. Oh, my God, how'd that happen? What happened? Like, nobody's ever woke up and go, I got abs. Right? Like, you have to, it doesn't happen. You don't get abs by accident unless you're Hector. You know what I mean? Like, Hector just came out of the womb with six-pack abs. It's just like, you're just like, whatever, Hector. Like, you know what I mean? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of out of shape. You know, I gained, like, half an ounce. I'm like, shut up, bro. Like, you know, he'll eat like tacos, pizza, you know, whatever, and still his abs, like, it just goes to his abs. You know what I mean? Just like, unless you're Hector or those like him, you can't just get abs by sitting still. You have to get intentional about your workout program. And in God, it's no surprise why certain people are seeing more of the manifestation of God than others. It is because some have chosen to be intentional about seeking his presence. And so then, remember this, guys. There are some rewards from God that are reserved for those who will live a life that seeks him. Okay, so let me say this. I want to talk more about Zacchaeus and about the thing, but okay, let me just say this about him. Zacchaeus, the reason why he experienced Jesus and encountered Jesus and Jesus went to his house and his whole salvation came to his whole house is because he accelerated the pace of his pursuit. All of us have a choice. This morning, either I am going to accelerate the pace of my pursuit of Jesus and I am going to see God do greater things in my life than I ever have, or I choose to stay where I've been. Or I choose to go back because life is hard. How many of you know life can sometimes be difficult? And I am in no way making fun or pointing a finger because it's pointing right back at me. No condemnation. What I'm telling you, celebration, is that there is an opportunity before us. God says, I have great rewards and greater measures of my presence that I will pour out upon you and upon this church if I can get people to seek my face. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear them and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. So this week, what are you going to do in your pursuit of God this week? Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, there's only one thing more wonderful than when God reaches down his hand from heaven and gets a hold of a man. And that is when a man on earth gets a hold of God. You change your pace, and you can be a man or a woman on earth that gets a hold of God. You change the way you're seeking God. Someone say, seek him.
Seek him.
Good news is anybody can seek him. You can be poor. You can be rich. You can be any ethnicity. You can come from any background. You could have messed up a million times. You could be Mother Teresa. It doesn't matter, because none of us on our own merit can seek him. The only reason we can seek him is because there was bloodshed on a cross 2,000 years ago that wiped away every sin. So everybody and anybody can seek his face. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now check this out. You and I can walk as close to God as we desire to. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He wants us to walk closely with him in every area of life. Through seeking God, you find out that God is more fascinating than anything else this world has to offer. He's more beautiful, he's more powerful, he's more glorious, he's more interesting, and more I remember when I started off on this journey of seeking God for myself in a greater way than I had been, and all of a sudden the Word of God became so much more interesting to me. His presence became so much more interesting to me because I finally gave him time to reveal himself to me. Is anyone know what I'm talking about? Maybe that's why I'm preaching on this, because when's the last time you truly had an encounter with God that changed your life? This is for every Christian in the house. Listen to this, guys. He's looking for those. Listen to me. He's looking for those who want to be close to him. Hallelujah. Some may say, Pastor, I'm not close. I should be closer. Listen, leave that shame and condemnation. Get it away from you. It's not from God. All God wants, now this is it, all God wants is for you to want to be with him. And if you will want to be with him, that's the crack in the door that God needs, and he will come in. And he will begin to grace you to take steps of intimacy, to get closer with God. See, the reason why we don't pursue God and seek God is because we don't think we know enough. We don't think we're good enough. We don't think we know enough about God. All those are lies. All God needs is a yes inside of you. All he needs is a yes. Yes, I will pray. Yes, I will listen to a podcast. Yes, I will turn the worship album on. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. And you do enough yeses, and all of a sudden, your life is changed. Doesn't happen overnight, but if you'll do it, you'll see God change your life. All right, here we go. How do you do it? How do you do it? I'm going to go through these extremely quickly and get you out of here. How do you accelerate your pursuit of Jesus? Number one, get intentional about spending time with Jesus. And that's Matthew 6:6, as we read before. Number two, I want to make this as simple as I can. Press play. Someone say press play. Yeah, go get our podcast and start listening to podcasts throughout the week. Press play. Choose to press play when you feel like listening to Nicki Minaj. I'm just throwing out a name. She's the first name that came to my mind. I don't even know what she sings or whatever. What I'm saying, Howard Stern, whoever, sports, Cowherd, whoever you listen to, instead of doing that for a moment, you press play on a podcast, and don't just listen to the word. You choose to believe the word that you're hearing, and it'll transform your life. Somebody say amen. Secondly, press play for a worship album. Just put the worship album on, and instead of listening to it, hear me, choose to participate from your heart with it. I'm telling you, two words can change your life. Press play. You know how many times I feel like hell on earth, but I press
play. And 30 to 45 minutes later, my problems aren't all gone, but at least my mindset is different.
Number three, go beyond where you've been before. Go beyond where you've been before. Joshua 3:4 says, you have not passed this way before. God says, now listen, look right here. Why do I say this? God gave me this. He says, because if you want new results, you have to be willing to do new things. And this scripture here, it says, there shall be a space between you and it, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. God says, let my presence lead you. Let my presence lead you into the greatest life you've ever had, because you haven't passed this way before. And that word passed in the Hebrew, here's what it means. It means to cross over, to go over, to get over, to go beyond, to go through, and to pass through. If you and I will accelerate the pace of our pursuit of Jesus, we're about to go over, we're about to pass through, we're about to go through, we're about to get over whatever it is that's been facing us, and we're about to go to new places in God that we've never been. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what? I've known God, but I'm far from him. On the count of three, I want to come back to him. I want you to lift your hand and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Either one of those invitations. Say, man, I just know my pursuit of God needs to increase. God's been drawing me and calling me, and today is just a word in season for me. That's you. You want me to pray with you and pray for you. On the count of three, lift them up. One, two, three, lift them up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hands, hands, hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else says, yes, that's me, pray with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And by your grace and with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you. And with your help, I will seek you. My pursuit is accelerating in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's rejoice with everybody that made that decision.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.